Hello, everyone. This is Kevin, and it's another episode on Let's Talk Youth Soccer. Today, we are going to speak about a topic that has to do with having the end in mind, and this is in terms of whenever we're entering youth soccer, whether as parents or players or even as coaches, always having the end in mind and not the first couple of years or immediate results. So I also have here with me two players who did play with the ACES soccer program that I played with as well. Jordan Rubel is one of them. Jordan Copey is the other. I'm just going to call them Copey and Rubel so there's no confusion. And just to give a brief introduction for all three, I'll start with myself. My name is Kevin O'Lawley. I played with the ACES 91. And we were the second ACES team formed back in the late 90s, 98, 99, 97. And I went to the, after ACES, I went to the University of South Florida. And currently I am in auto insurance as a claims adjuster. And next with us here is Jordan Copey.
So yeah, as Kevin said, my name is Jordan Copey. I played on the ACES 94 team all the way through. I've played for ACES since I was 8 years old. You know, I've been a part of the process within ACES for as long as I can remember. After playing for ACES, I went off to play at Dallas Baptist University for a year. And then I came back, started coaching, and now I coach with ACES and I coach with Soccer Shots for the younger ones during the day. And that's what I do.
Hey guys, Jordan Rubel here. So like Jordan Copey, I played with the ACES 94s as well. However, unlike him, I was a little bit of a late bloomer to the program. Only playing my junior and senior year of high school with ACES. But, you know, overall really enjoyed it. Really wish I'd come there sooner. Following ACES, I went to UT Dallas in Richardson and played all 4 years of college there. And currently work in engineering at a research and development lab, working with some pretty futuristic technology.
All right, and I also have to let you guys know that both Jordans are coaches. They coach young kids. Jordan, what age group do you coach?
I got the 08s and the 01s and the Kickstarter program for 6 through 8-year-olds.
Okay, and you, Jordan?
I coach the 2011s.
Okay, all right. So the first question I'm going to start with, and this is a question that is really hard for some teams and not so much for others. This is one that's definitely a problem at ACES, I believe. And the first question I have for Jordan Copey and Jordan Rubel are, what is the difficulty of explaining how today's process is the best decision for the future? So basically what that means is, how do you explain to a parent that what a kid works on today will be the best decision for him in the future in terms of how his team will perform and how he will perform individually? So a lot of the times you have teams that perform well when they're very young, but because they have bad fundamentals, they don't have any fundamentals, to be honest. And the coaches concentrate on the wrong things, the parents look at the wrong things, and then in the future it ends up costing them. And one thing that I had recently that I have to bring this up, I haven't explained this yet to either Copey or Rubel, is that this is an example of what a ACES coach can go through. I work in auto claims, as I said before. I'm a claims adjuster, and I had a client who was with our company, and he was involved, I believe, in his first or second accident in his whole life. He really didn't have any idea of what he was doing. He had a vague idea. And then I handle about 10, 15, 20 auto claims a day. So I go through this process hundreds, thousands of times. And then We also work with a body shop. So the owner of the body shop, I mean, he's been working with, same thing, 10s, 15s, 20 people a day, same situation. So we're trying to explain the process of how things are, but it's not quite what the customer wants to hear. And even though we're explaining to him the same message, he's still not able to understand exactly what we're saying. I think he's so caught up in what he wants. So he ends up moving to another body shop, which we told him not to do. We told him regardless of where you go, the same thing's going to happen. So he changes a body shop to get his car fixed, ends up getting in trouble, and it ends up a lot worse than what he wanted, what he expected. And then he says, I wish I stayed with you guys the first time, with the first body shop. And I was like, I don't care. I don't think it would have mattered what we would have told him, because we told him everything. We told him repeatedly. And this is how it can be as an ACES coach. So, Kopi, just to start with you, what solution or what kind of problems, how would you go about this question?
It definitely is probably one of the most difficult things as a coach is, you know, explaining why our process of doing things is unique and beneficial for the kids. And one area that I always approach is something that I recall hearing when I first started for ACES, which was, we're going to lose. So that's one of the first things I tell my parents, especially when the kids are young, is I'm like, look, we're going to lose. And you know what? Some games we're going to lose pretty bad. And the sole thing and the biggest thing that I emphasize to my players as well is at the end of the day, when they're that young, I really don't care what the score of the game is. We could win every game. We could lose every game. That's irrelevant to me. You know, at the end of the day, obviously, I mean, I think I could speak for every single one of us. We love to win, and winning is the best feeling. But when they're that young, there's other things that are just so much more important than the results. And when it comes to getting through to a parent that they want the results, it's more about guiding them or more steering them towards, well, look at how much better your kid's gotten. I mean, I have kids on my 08 team, and you know, a few of them, they'll admit it. I always go, I'll come up to them and I'll say, do you remember when you first came here? And a few of them will laugh and they'll nod their head, because yeah, man, when some kids first come to ACES, they look like baby deer dribbling a soccer ball. I mean, it's the most foreign thing in the world. And then to see those kids progress and to see the moves that they can do now, the things that they can do with the soccer ball, I mean, those same kids are the first ones that come to you and they say, coach, look what I can do now. And it's like, I mean, I remember when you literally couldn't even dribble a soccer ball properly, and that was a year ago. Now look at you. So for me, when it comes to explaining that to the parents and explaining the process to parents, I think the most important thing on my end is just explaining to them, look at the individual development of your kid. You know, look at who's around him. Look at the environment that your kid's in. He loves all of his teammates. His teammates love him. Every practice, he comes home with a smile on his face. He's happy. We push the kids. We work the kids hard. We teach them new stuff every time they come out. So, you know, the question then I'd pose to parents is, why would you want to leave this? You know, why would you want to leave this for something that, one, you don't know, and two, I mean, if you just look at them and you say, yeah, they're winning, well, like you said, when they get to be U15, U16, most of the times those teams that are winning when they're younger aren't winning when they're older, because they got caught up in all the success, so they stopped working on the things that are truly important for success. And, you know, I think I'm going all over the place here, but the last thing that I'd add to it is, I mean, you know, for us, especially you and I, Kevin, I mean, Ruble, you got into the process late, but, you know, for you and I, we were there from the beginning, so we saw the progression. So being able to come back as a coach now and say, look, I've lived through this, all right? I remember being your guys' age and getting our butts kicked by Solar every single time we played them. I mean, double-digit games. And then when you look at it when you're 16, 17, 18 years old and you're dominating these same teams that used to kill you, that's the best feeling in the world. There's nothing like that, so... it's something I'm always telling my kids when we lose a game, like, it's going to come, our moment's going to come, you know, it's in the future, and that's what we look to. I think that's the most important thing to try to pass off to the parents as much as we can, but, okay. You know, you try your best.
All right, that was Jordan Kopi's viewpoint. Now, Jordan Ruble, how would you go about it? And just to repeat the question, it's the difficulty of explaining how today's process is the best decision for our kids' future.
Well, you know, like, I think Jordan Kopi kind of hit it right on the nail, is that it is about, less about the results at such a young age, and you got to keep them, I mean, obviously engaged and everything, but you know, the parents have got to realize that it's got to be more about their kids' individual development. The results aren't going to matter as much at such a young age because there's really no, nothing really that they're playing for. They're not, you know, at the point where they're trying to get noticed by colleges. They're not trying to get noticed by teams or, you know, really, like, have anything or trying to, you know, win trophies, state cups, anything like that. They're just out there to play and have fun. And, you know, at this young age, it's definitely just got to be about, you know, teaching the skills and developing them as a player. And I think what we do really well at ACES is that that individual development is very good. And it's not just, you know, skills-wise, you know, being able to dribble the ball crazy and get around to anybody who they play against. It's about learning to work as a team and enjoying every single minute that they're out there on the fields, at the complex, and out at games. And just seeing the improvement from week to week, day to day, month to month, year to year. And, you know, that improvement that they, that the kids themselves see, that we as coaches see, and that the parents eventually do see, comes from that individual development. And it doesn't come from, you know, other clubs just only focusing on results and wanting to win every single game and win every single game big, and you know, just having that one player that is just able to just outrun everybody or shoot like crazy. It's those players get caught up to, because eventually that individual development comes into play. And we have to, I think you just got to stress that to parents. And, you know, parents will kind of have that mindset where it's like, oh, they see this team winning and they see this team winning big and think, oh, and then when rankings do come into play, think, oh, this team's like ranked, what, number 2 in the nation or 2 in the state, 2 in the region, whatever you want to say. But, you know, you just got to stress that rankings and statistics and all that stuff don't really matter, and that eventually those teams will drop off. And you got to think about what's best for your kid, and are they going to have fun going to play for this team that is, you know, winning, but how are they winning? Is it because it's like one player just doing everything, or is it, you know, the just the mindset of the coach, and, you know, are the players getting better? And so I think that's really what you need to stress to the parents is, you know, look at how those clubs operate, how they go from team to team, and, you know, all these, like, there's a bunch of, like, super clubs here in the North Texas area that have, like, you know, 6-7 teams in an age group, and that's not, you're not going to get a whole lot of development there. They're not going to focus a lot on individual development. They just, they're there, you know, to win games, and that's not, at this age, at such a young age, that's not what you really want to see. So, you know, that's kind of how I feel on the opinion. You just got to stress that to the parents, so.
Yeah, those were very good points, and I still have to say the good thing is that there are parents who will listen to this advice. The bad thing is that there are parents, it doesn't matter what you tell them, you could show them statistics of teams in the past that started low and ended up winning at the end of the youth soccer. You could show it year after year. I have a whole record of teams, and there's just something about the lore of teams that do well when they're little kids that many people fall into. And I don't know if there's a solution to that. I think sometimes parents just have to, I mean, it's always bad. Another one, I don't know about you, Jordan, both Ruble and Kopi, of how many times on ACES I've heard where the older kid went to the top team that was good at a young age, and then for their younger kid, they made the better decision. So it was at the expense of the older kid. And it's not so much that going to a team when they're winning is young, it's listen to the points again that Jordan Kopi and Jordan Ruble said. And if your kid is in a place where they're experiencing a lot of these things, that's a good sign. So if they're winning and experiencing these things, that's a good sign. If they're winning and they're experiencing some of the things that Jordan Kopi and Jordan Ruble expressed that were not good for the development of the team and the player, then these are things that you need to think very long about and very hard about. So for the second question, and this will be the last question of the interview, the topic is, just because your kid is the star at U12 doesn't mean he will be the star at U18. And I'm going to give this straight to Jordan Kobe.
Oh, this is a rocky one here. I think if your kid's a star at U12, all the power to him. Just make sure that he's guided properly. You know, we've all seen those players who, at a young age, we were like, oh my gosh, he's going pro, 100%. That kid's just incredible. And I think the biggest thing that happens with those kind of players is it goes to their head. And to be honest with you, I don't think it really helps when you see all these big personalities that are out right now in the professional leagues and how they carry themselves. I don't think that really lends to all the top quality players at a young age, because they watch them. Like, you look at somebody like Pogba and what he did after Jose Mourinho left, you know, throwing a party in the locker room and saying he couldn't get rid of me. Players see that, and especially the good ones who watch soccer all the time, they see that, and you know, now they think that's how I need to carry myself. And I think that that's where you create so many problems for players, especially as they get into high school. I mean, we were all teenagers once. We all know the mentality that goes into being a teenager. So when you factor in an ego, and especially an ego that big into it, I think it's a recipe for trouble. And that's when you start to see kids at 17, 18 years old fall out of the sport, because what they were once so good at, they never really worked too hard at, because they were naturally gifted. And as a result of that, all the players that did work hard throughout all those years finally caught up to them when they were 17, 18 years old. And now look at them. They're average. You know, I think at the same time, when you have a kid who's U12 and he's dominating, and you can keep him with the right mentality, like I think Sammy did for all of us here. You know, Coach Sammy did a really good job of keeping, one, egos in check, and two, making sure that we all knew that, you know, we were a part of a system, we were a part of a team. You know, there was no place for an ego under Coach Sammy. And that was the best part about it.
I gotta say, yeah, no matter how good a player was, no matter how good the team was, there's no time for egos, no place, 0% for egos.
There's no place for it. And I think we all learned that through ACES, and I think, you know, one of the things that you see happen in those players who stay really grounded and who stay, you know, with the understanding that this is bigger than just me. Oh my. He's got a loud car. But no, I mean, you know, when you factor that in, and these players that stay grounded and they recognize that there's still 10 other players on their team that are sharing the field with them, and they're able to operate with them. I think a prime example that the two of us, Rubel, can think of is Tony. Tony was probably one of the best players in Classic League at our time. And the way that he would play with his team, you know, he was a superstar for us, but at the same time, he trusted every single player with the ball. He never tried to take things on himself. And that lended to him a different quality that really helped us become a really successful team. So, in answer to the question, I mean, if your kid's U12 and he's well-grounded and you can keep the ego in check and you let him know that there's a bigger picture and there's other players around him and he doesn't have to do it himself, I think you have a kid that could definitely be a superstar at U18. If the kid gets an ego, it could go the other way. So,
definitely.
Yeah, that's best for me.
All right, that was good stuff from Jordan Kobe. Now, Jordan Rubel, your take?
Yeah, so I think, you know, along those same lines is that, you know, the ego is definitely a problem, but I guess another way to put that is you got to keep them humble. You got to keep them, you know, always wanting to work hard, you know, always wanting to put in the work and not just settle. You know, a good way to put it is that you want to keep them hungry. You want to keep them wanting to work hard, always wanting to improve, and always wanting to get better. You know, push them harder, faster than, you know, anything you can think of. And you look at those top players. Kobe mentioned Paul Pogba. I mean, naturally gifted talent. And, you know, you haven't really heard about him past couple months.
Years.
A little bit, depending on who you talk to. But and then you look at, you know, those superstars. You know, you look at, you know, Messi, Ronaldo. You know, those guys, they're obviously naturally talented. You know, had a born gift to play the game. But they also put in the work. They also are always looking to improve. They're always looking to get better, whether it's something simple as just always having that touch right at their feet, you know, they're never settling for what they do. And I think that's what you got to instill in kids at a young age, whether it be U12 or even younger than that, who, you know, are dominant. You don't want them to just get settled and think, oh, I'm beating everybody, no one can stop me, and this is going to continue going on my entire life. And that's just not true. You got to be able to continue putting in the work and always improving, whether that be something simple from just learning to shoot with your other foot just that little bit better, or you know, being able to take the ball down with your left foot and pass the ball with your left foot. I mean, you got to be able to learn the small stuff and the fundamentals and keep working on those. And so, like, you know, as a U12 player, if you settle and you don't focus on that, you know, you're going to get caught up to. You're going to find that those kids that are putting in the work, who may not have been as gifted as you at a younger age, are going to, but they're putting in the work as they grow up, they're going to catch up to you, and then you're just not going to be as dominant. You're not going to be that standout kid anymore. And, you know, it's hard to readjust after coming to that conclusion that, you know, oh, shoot, I didn't put in the work when I was 13, 14. Yeah. Now I'm 18. I'm looking to go to college. And offers aren't coming in. Or, you know, you get to college and, you know, you got a 21, 22-year-old senior who decides to put you in your place. And then you're trying to adjust from there. It's hard to do when you get that age. And, you know, if you instill those fundamentals and ideals, and I guess that attitude in them early, you could definitely create a star from a U12 to a U18. But again, it's something you got to instill in early, and it's hard to adjust to when you get into that 18, 19, 20-year-old age.
And actually, even this doesn't even apply, and I like that they brought up the mentality thing, and that starting low doesn't mean that you can't be a star player or a top player in the future. I mean, this happens even at the professional level. And I know, for example, there's a player right now a lot of people won't know, but there's a player called Gnabry. He's a German. And there was a time where he was at a top team, Arsenal, and then he went to a lower level team in the English league. It was a very, very low level team. The coach said he just doesn't have it to play at this level. And this was a low level team in a top league, but the coach didn't believe that he had it. And then obviously put in the work a few years later, he's at arguably one of the top five teams in the world. I mean, the guy just scored 4 goals in one game against the Champions League team final from last year. So this is why the mentality is very important, and to keep your ego in check. And just because you're not a top player, you're on the second team or the third team of whenever you're young, you can still move up. But a lot of it is mentality, and things can, the tables can turn. So that's it. That's all we have for today. I want to thank again Jordan Kopy and Jordan Rubel for joining us. And stay tuned for the next episode.